We're celebrating summer with 40 Thrive's top 10 episodes of season 2. From body changes to career changes, mindset shifts to creating habits that will improve, well, pretty much everything. These episodes will make you think, laugh, and definitely grow as a grown-ass woman over 40 and beyond. This time, number one.
Listening to the 40 Thrive podcast, the show created for women 40 and beyond, ready to shake things up. And now, your host, Jackie McDougall.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of 40 Thrive. Before we dive into all the greatness, this episode and our entire top 10 of season 2 is brought to you by Kindra. As I'm recording this, I am hearing from so many women all over who are not only trying to beat the heat outside, gosh, it's hot. But from within, hot flashes, night sweats, it is real. But did you know that suffering is not actually required? Let me say that again. Suffering could be a choice you're making. Mood swings, vaginal dryness, sleepless nights, they can all be addressed. And sometimes pretty simply. That's where Kindra comes in. They have estrogen-free essentials for your peri to post menopause journey. If you're feeling overheated, tired, sluggish, can't sleep, or experience vaginal dryness that's just getting in the way of the life you know you could be living, Kindra has a whole suite of products to help. And you can get 20% off Kindra site-wide with promo code 40thrive20 at checkout. That's ourkindra.com with promo code 40thrive20, F-O-R-T-Y-T-H-R-I-V-E, and the number 20. Go get it. You could be feeling so much better sooner than you can even imagine. Okay, so on today's episode of 40 Thrive, you will meet Kwavi Agbayegbe. She's a certified weight coach and life coach and retreat creator that helps successful women manage their health, mindset, and waistlines. Her passion is helping women in their 40s and beyond master their health and wellness. Kwavi believes women deserve to feel energized, confident, and fiercely happy in their lives. Who doesn't want more of that? I know that's what I believe as well. So Kwavi and I talk about everything from maximizing midlife, giving up alcohol, mindful eating, and the toxic five foods we should try to avoid in midlife and beyond. Before we dive in, it's another 40 Thrive Apple review spotlight. This one's from Amber. She says, 40 Thrive is exactly what you need if you're feeling a bit lost in midlife. Jackie's authenticity and generosity make you feel like a part of a secret club where your age is an advantage. This show is can't miss and should be added to your faves pronto. Amber, thank you. That's awesome. I'm so appreciative of your thoughtful and generous review. If you'd like to be featured on 40 Thrive, share a review on your favorite podcast app, and I just may read it on the show. And now, let's get into my conversation with Kwavi Agbayegbe. Kwavi, welcome to 40 Thrive.
Thank you. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you here. So you reached out to me, and as I told you in email, my background is television. I'm a total video snob. And your marketing video, it's so good.
Thank you.
I'm going to actually link to it in the show notes because I need the audience to see it. It's so beautiful. So you were just talking before we got on about the narrative, the midlife narrative. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay. So 2 years ago, I turned 50. So I'm 52 now. I just went on this quest to ask different women who had turned 50, like, what were their thoughts? What were they thinking? And I'll tell you this, probably 70% of the people I spoke with, they were like, oh, you know, I really can't do anything else. My life is over. I'm like, wait, where is this coming from? And I know society has their role to play in this, but you actively can change that narrative for yourself. Don't wait for society to change it for you. Why are you going to say your life is over when you're still breathing and living? So I was like, no, I want anything to do with that. So for me, one of the things I'm actively doing is speaking to the midlife audience and telling them, why do you think that your life is over because you've hit a certain age? When you're still breathing, there are so many more opportunities now than ever before. Why don't you take advantage of that? What is the upside of that, really? Just thinking, okay, I can't do anything more. Like, no, it's different now.
Absolutely. You're speaking my language because I feel like 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. we maybe had small kids or we had high stress jobs or yes. however things have changed. Like, this is the time.
Yeah, this is it. And then you want to just roll over and die. I'm like, seriously, why do you think that's acceptable? You can change that for yourself if that's not what you want. Now, if that's what you want, then oh, well, be it. You know, that's fine. But if you want something more, why not? Why not go for it?
Yes, absolutely. So you're a certified weight coach, life coach, retreat yeah. creator. And yeah. so you help successful women manage their health, mindset, and waistlines. Mm-hmm. What were you doing before you hit midlife?
Well, I started my coaching when I hit my 40s. But prior to that, I was in IT. So I was information technology, you know, doing the computer thing. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that. But I wanted more. I wanted something different. I wanted to create an impact in the world. And for me, through coaching, I can impact so many women yeah. through my programs and just by speaking to them.
I can't even imagine you doing IT because your personality is meant to be shared.
And the thing is, I still love IT. Like, I still do my own stuff. Like, I networked at home by myself. I still love doing that. But being able to coach other women and just show them just a glimmer of the possibilities, because sometimes you can't see so much. But if you can just show them, if I can just show them a sneak peek, they're like, oh my God. And that yeah. just opens their eyes to other things.
Right. And yeah. so there are a lot of coaches out there with their own specific niche. What made you decide to get into the weight loss space?
Okay. So for me, the reason why I did that was when I turned 19, I was in college in England at the time, and I was watching a documentary. And during the documentary, they talked about cattle and how meat gets to our table. But the journey from the cattle to when it got to our table was, I mean, horrendous. It was just despicable. And at that point, I just made the decision. I'm like, I'm not going to eat meat anymore. And then it changed to chicken. And I started investigating every single thing I put into my mouth. Mm. It just put me on this health and wellness journey. And that was back then. Because think about it. I'm 52. That was when I was 19. No one knew what. They thought I was crazy. They all thought like, what is wrong with you? This is time you're supposed to be having fun. I'm like, no, no. You guys know. Seriously, you need to think about what you're eating. But they thought I was crazy. But it put me on that path. But I was in college studying computer science. So I didn't, you know, do the switch. But my personal life was heavily involved in health and wellness. I was investigating. And then in my 30s, after having my kids, I thought, you know what, let me kind of switch. Because I still had that passion. I would actually create packages for people and they would do them and they would lose weight. But I didn't think about it as a career until like my late 30s, early 40s. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I want to make a career out of this.
That's such a prime example. I tell people all the time, there's work doing the things that you love to do. And so if you are that go-to person for health and wellness or the go-to person for the most amazing birthday cakes or IT or whatever it is, there's a side hustle or a new career out there for you. I can guarantee it. And so I love the fact that you took that leap into this space. And so what have you learned about yourself through coaching?
Oh my goodness. I've learned that our mind is everything. Our thoughts govern everything. When I went into it, it was more about, oh, you know, I'll teach people nutrition and what to eat. But it's the main thing is our mind. I learned so much about my mind and I was able to teach other women to think that way because our thoughts determine everything.
Yes, they really do. And it's tough when you're in a place of feeling stuck and you may know logically that just a mind shift will be the answer. It's sometimes, have you ever been in a bad mood and someone tries to cheer you up and you're like, no, I am completely committed to this bad mood.
That's right.
I'm in this space. Don't say anything to me to get me out. Unless you want to join me here in the shit, we're not going anywhere.
Right. It's like, you want to stick to that. It's like, no, I am comfortable in this.
Exactly. Which is so funny because the last thing you are is really comfortable in it, right? It's just, you're in it and it's...
You're not moving. That's it. You just want to stick there. Stay
yeah,
there.
Yeah. So I think you're absolutely right. That mindset shift can be, it's everything.
It is. But the thing is, when you're in it, you can't see it.
Right.
Like I have coaches for myself because when I'm in it, it's hard for you to see it. Someone from the outside can see it logically. And you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. You know,
and it's still a journey. I mean, I'm learning so much, but still when you're in it, it's hard sometimes when you're
yeah.
in it.
And you have to hear it from somebody who is impartial. Because right. it's your spouse or your kid or your best friend, you're like, shut up. Right. But you're investing in yourself and you work with a coach and you're like, oh, okay, there's something here. So that's great. So you reached out to me. It was one of those things where the email comes in and I'm like, oh my God, yes. Like, yes. And so one of the things that you mentioned was alcohol in midlife.
Yes.
And this is why I want to tell you why I was so excited. This is a topic I have been wanting to have on this podcast since day one.
Oh, wow.
I love to drink. I'm a wine girl. I moved on to vodka because wine was giving me hot flashes. But then recently, in the past 6 months, I'm like, it really does not serve me. I wasn't drinking every day and I wasn't drinking to excess. My husband and I would share a bottle of wine and that was it. And there was a time I really enjoyed it in my life. It brought something to my life. It was like, especially, you know, and go ahead and email me, judge me. I don't really care. But but when the kids were younger, it was sort of like that clocking out, the punching out. It was the time card. It was like the ability to just sit out in the backyard and have a glass of wine. And but why do I not like alcohol anymore? It's so sad. But I want to talk to you about that. How does our relationship with alcohol change for many people in midlife?
And I think it's just our bodies are going through so much. Like for me, I didn't drink that much, but you know, on vacation, I drink. And I mean, mojito was like my drink of choice. I mean, I would just chill out, you know, they'll bring my drink to me at the beach. And then I turned probably more 45, 46. I would notice that when I would drink, I would be miserable. And I'm like, what's up with this? But you know, sometimes you don't really correlate that to what's going on. And then I hit menopause and I would notice when I would drink, oh my goodness, hot flashes, night sweats. It's like my regular symptoms would be like times 10.
Oh yes.
Like what is, so, and for me, I do a lot of journaling. So I started connecting the dots and I realized it was the alcohol. And then I started researching more and seeing it didn't really help with your skin. And I'm like, you know what? Why am I doing this to myself? And I quit, just quit. So it's been like 3 years, no alcohol at all.
One of the reasons I like talking about this, because there are plenty of women our age who are sober because there was some sort of problem, there was an issue for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But I also see a lot of women who really enjoyed throwing a couple back who are just no longer doing it.
Right.
I never would have thought it would be me.
Yeah, but I think for you, what you've noticed is the joy is no longer there. And you're like, the joy is no longer there. Why do? And you know, we get to a certain age where we're like, I'm not just doing stuff for doing stuff. Mm-hmm. If it's not serving me in the way it used to, it's like, done, not doing it anymore.
Right. Know? But, and I don't know how much you dive into the subconscious, but for many of us, I think for myself, when you're like, oh, it doesn't really serve me. If I have two glasses of wine, I'm going to be up all night with night sweats. I'm going to be uncomfortable. I won't sleep well. I'll be dehydrated. And then my subconscious is like, oh, stop. You love having wine. Just open up a bottle. You'll be great. And then the next day it's like, no, again, I'm dehydrated. Do you have clients who go through this? Like at what point do you no longer listen to the subconscious message of this is what we do and actually move forward in a positive way?
I normally tell my clients is, do you have two parts of the brain? You have like the intelligent and the lower brain. And it's that lower brain that's very impulsive. And it's going to be like, yeah, have some more wine. Like, it's fun. And that's the one that works in the now. Mm-hmm. And your prefrontal cortex is the one that does all the planning. And that's the one that plans things and knows, okay, you know, you do this. These are your precautions. So I normally tell my clients that they should track it. I normally tell them to track and see what comes up for them. Now, some of them, I tell them, if you decide that you want to drink, I tell them, write it down and just say, and write down, I know that if I drink, these are the consequences, and just go with it. I tell them, just do that. Because a lot of them, when they do that, they end up after a while just kind of quitting because they end up seeing it. It's like it's on paper. When I drink, I don't sleep well. My menopausal symptoms are heightened, you know, and they see that. So after a while, they're like, you know what? Can't do it. And then I tell them too that they have the power to override that thought in their brain. You are the boss of your brain. So you can say, you know what? Hold up. No, we're not doing this today. You're going to say this now, but when I wake up in the morning feeling just tired and then the menopausal symptoms are increased, you're not going to be there with me. I tell people you need to have that conversation with your brain because you're going to go back and forth. And if it really isn't serving you for real, Or if you're ready to deal with the consequences, then you can take that path. But you have a choice. Don't let your brain make you do what you don't want to do. I tell my clients that all the time.
I like that, because let's just say you're going to a party and you want to have wine and you have a little journal. I love to carry notebooks in my purse and things like that. Write it down, like own it. I'm going to have 2 glasses of wine and I know that I'm going to have hot flashes tonight and tomorrow I'm going to feel dehydrated, but I really want to do this, and then own it.
You know the thing, that when you do it like that, I do that with food too.
And yes.
The thing is, it's a different vibration when you eat that way, as opposed to you're just kind of impulsive about it. When you plan ahead, very different. Very different.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about food then. We've already solved the alcohol problem here. Ladies, drink, don't drink, but make sure that you're the one who's in charge of your decisions.
Right.
So how would you take all of that in regards to alcohol and translate it to food?
Yeah, it's similar, but a little different, because food is easily accessible and people just grab food to kind of fill that void. And most times it's filling an emotion. It's because they don't want to feel something. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I tell my clients, like, they'll say, oh, you know, I had dinner, and then maybe around 8 o'clock, they've had dinner, all of a sudden they want to eat something. First thing they need to ask themselves is, am I really hungry? Because that really gets you to be honest with yourself. And then when they respond to that, I said, okay, if you decide that you still want to go ahead and eat, just say, okay, I'm going to sit for 5 minutes and see how I feel. And that is when you have to deal with embracing whatever emotion it is that you are trying to avoid. And it's really uncomfortable, but it allows you to start to feel and build that emotional courage. Because most times we just don't want to feel. That's the thing. And I tell my clients, what's the worst that can happen? You feel an emotion. Really? That's what it is. But we run away from it because it's just an uncomfortable feeling. Sometimes I'm like, when we were growing up as kids, for a lot of us, when something happens, your parents might say, like maybe if you fall down on the playground, your parents say, oh, come have a cookie so you can feel better. Right. Now, at that point, your brain is registering that when I don't feel good, I need to eat something. And we carry that into adulthood.
Yes.
Unfortunately. So we never really get to deal with how we're feeling because we block it right away with food. And food is easily accessible. So you just grab the next thing and like, oh yeah. I don't have to feel that.
You're absolutely right. Every celebration, every get together, everything is surrounded by food and not usually the healthiest food. That's how we were programmed.
Yeah.
And so we can't go back in time quite yet and reprogram ourselves. And so what would you say to somebody who just feels like, what are the 3 most common words? I deserve this.
Yeah, but I tell them that you can deserve it, but it doesn't have to be food related. Especially if you're on that path where you're trying to lose weight. There are so many ways for you to enjoy and have fun without it being food. If you're on a journey to lose weight, eating when you're not hungry causes overeating, and that causes weight gain. So look for other alternatives for joyful outcomes that don't involve food.
Like I
journal, I dance, I meditate. Dancing is a big thing for me. Listen to music. Hanging out, having conversations. I always ask them when they first start off with me, I ask them, I'm like, what brings you joy? And for a lot of them, they always say food. It's like at the top of their list. And so we have to do this whole switch where I try to find out from them, is what else brings you joy in your life? And for a lot of them, it's difficult because they have put food on such a pedestal that whenever anything is going on, it's like, I'll go for the food. And they now have to really, you know, go deep within themselves to find out, okay, what is it? And sometimes people have to go back to their childhood, like, what did you enjoy as a child? You know, before all these different restrictions on what you can and couldn't do, like, what did you really enjoy doing? Then they start to like, oh yeah, I used to enjoy that. And like, oh, I used to enjoy that. I'm like, yeah, let's investigate how you can start doing some more of that and put that in your life.
Let's break that down for a little bit. How exactly does food bring us joy?
Well, see, I think it's just the excitement. Like sometimes you're like, oh, I'm going to eat. You just have that thought, oh, I'm going to have ice cream. Just the expression on people's faces. Or even before you start to think about the food, your mouth starts watering like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have this. But I also know that, unfortunately, the food manufacturers have changed the way food tastes that is so highly palatable that now it's not like what we used to eat before. It's almost like a dopamine hit. When you get that food, the pleasure is intense. It's like the desire becomes intense. It's almost like a cycle now because you want more and you want more and you want more. Now, that doesn't happen when you eat natural foods. Like When you have a banana and you have a dopamine hit, it's like, whoo. When you have maybe chocolate cupcake and you get a dopamine hit, it's like, whoa. It's like two different sensations in the brain. Your brain's going to want the whoa over the little one. Of course, it's just a cycle. You have to break it, though. But that's the cycle that most people are on right now.
That's the cycle by design. The food companies have created this.
Oh, yeah. You have to be your own health advocate. You have to take it upon yourself to decide how you want to live. Because if you leave it to the food manufacturer, you're going to be eating all kinds of stuff. And most times, it's not even real food.
Right. You know? So are you a vegetarian and do you recommend vegetarianism for your clients?
No, I am vegetarian, but I don't recommend that for my clients. I tell my clients to kind of have more of a wholesome diet where they're eating mostly fuel foods, which are whole foods, fruits, vegetables, protein, carbs. But no, I don't recommend. I mean, if they want to do it, I'd say they can go for it. But no, that's not one of the things I recommend to my clients. It's not for everyone. I mean, I'm married with kids. I'm the only one that's vegetarian. So
it's tough in a household, right? Yeah. So what do you think is some of the biggest issues with women in midlife? Obviously, many of us could eat a certain way at 30, maybe even 35, and we can't eat that way at 40 or 50. What are some of the things that you would recommend maybe go away or at least decrease because of where we are?
So in my program, there are things I call the toxic five that I tell my clients to kind of like, let's reduce and possibly eliminate. But I let them try it out so that they can see how it's working for them. So the first one is caffeine. I tell them to reduce caffeine. Sugar is a big one. Gluten, alcohol, and dairy, those five. And I tell them to take those out, reduce and eliminate for 14 days and journal how they're feeling as they take them out. Most times they'll have withdrawal here and there, and then eventually it kind of stabilizes. And then I tell them to put it back in and see how they feel. And for a lot of them, like with the caffeine, some of them will take coffee. They'll still have it, but they won't have it with sugar and milk anymore. They can't do the sugar and milk. It's just too much for them. A lot of them reduce their sugar a lot. Some of them go off gluten because they just realize, oh my goodness, is that why I, you know, don't sleep really well? Because they now start to notice our bodies change. I mean, our hormones, first of all, estrogen is decreasing. Our bodies are changing so much as we get older. So a lot of the things that we could do before, we can no longer do them. It's like you eat them, you're like, why am I feeling so crappy? Why am I so bloated? It's just our bodies have changed so much. So I normally do the toxic five, reduce and eliminate, and then reintroduce and see how it works. And it's different for everyone. That's a thing.
Right. Well, and it's interesting that you say that because there are fads. I'm gluten-free and I'm this and I'm that. I know for a fact that I have less inflammation when I don't eat gluten. I can't even fit on my wedding rings when I have gluten. Like I'm wearing a costume jewelry ring because I can't fit on my rings. And so I've been reading that it's not necessarily the gluten itself. Like if you go to Italy and have pasta, you may not even have that same reaction.
It's the way the wheat is manufactured in this country. Totally. Oh yeah, that's a problem. Also too, in these other countries, because I used to live in England, the rules for food are way more strict in those countries compared to here.
So they can actually have foods approved here that would never fly in other countries.
No, no. You can't have farm-raised salmon in England. It's not approved.
Here, they're like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
So it's what you're eating, but it's also the quality of what you're eating.
Definitely the quality, for sure.
I see commercials of like, go and buy these whole foods and this and that. And that's not necessarily readily available for everyone. So do you have any tricks or tips that you give your clients to find more whole foods?
I tell my clients, you can take frozen. It's okay. You know, frozen items are fine. You can get your frozen vegetables. And actually, you can even get the can. Now, just be careful with the sodium content because a lot of them have a lot of sodium in it. But there are so many ways around it. You don't have to have it. You don't have to do the organic. I'm like, no, just make do with, if you can figure out like the frozen options that you can take with it, have some fresh produce, mix that with some canned items. You have beans that you can purchase. I mean, it takes longer to cook, but you know, there's so many different ways around it. Now, for a lot of the things though, you can still do it, but it takes the time. So you have to invest the time.
Okay.
In it. It takes longer. Yeah.
I will tell you, in eighth grade, my science project, I compared fresh, frozen, and canned vegetables to see which one was the best. And believe it or not, the frozen because they flash freeze it when it's at its best.
Yes.
And so I buy frozen. I do love fresh vegetables. So there's certain vegetables I like to buy fresh, but like my broccoli and my spinach and things like that, I'll just buy it frozen at Costco and have it in the freezer at all times.
See? Yeah.
Yeah. There are benefits to that. Everybody has some sort of grocery store. So just stock up on those frozen because a lot of them too aren't necessarily chemically treated and all of that.
Right. Yeah. So that's a good thing about the frozen.
So I just love what you're putting out there. I love the energy. You're not scolding anybody for eating crackers in bed. You're just giving, you're just giving people options.
Yeah. And I think also too, people are at different stages. If you want to have the crackers, that's fine. But I think also too, is what is the end point for you? Like, what is your goal? If your goal is to do this, I'm here to help you. You know, if that's not where you are right now. I mean, we're at a stage, come on, we're in the 50s, most of us. This is the time for us to enjoy our lives without having to like think, oh, I have to do it this way or that way. This is the time to live your life the way you want to. And for most of us up until this point, we had kids and, you know, the career, we had so many different things that kind of put restriction. This is a time for us to really live our lives.
Yeah. And I really like that because one of the things that is very important to me is exactly what you just said, that if you would like to fuel your body with more whole foods, if you'd like to move your body more, if you'd like to set goals and maybe personal challenges, and that's fantastic. Like, this show will never be meant to scold you and to tell you you should lose 10% of your body weight, although you could actually prevent diabetes if you lose 10% of your body weight. Like, there are actual physical medical statistics, which I'm sure that you know and go over with. But also, let's enjoy what we have in front of us. It's all back to that mindset shift. Like, that cookie doesn't make me feel good anymore. I know for me, processed sugar also adds to my night sweats and to my agitation and to being short with my kids. I don't want that anymore.
Exactly.
I want to make choices that feel good. And then on occasion, I may reach for the cookie or I may reach for something because I've made the conscious effort to do it and not because I was watching the basketball game and I ate a whole bag of chips.
So funny to say that. I describe that in my program as fog eating, where you're like eating and you're completely unaware, and then the bag of chips is finished and you're like, who was that? That was you. And you're like, it had to have been me, but when did I do that?
Yeah, exactly. I was actually setting you up because that's where I wanted to go. So I went onto your Instagram and I love that you have your tips and you number your tips and all that, and that there are four different types of eating. And I think even if we do nothing else today on this episode, but just to explain those four different ways of eating, and so that, and helping my audience understand themselves, then my work here is done. So can you share those?
Yes. Whenever you put anything into your mouth, it falls into one of these four categories. So the first one is fuel eating, when you're eating to nourish your body. And that is normally like the whole foods, your fruits and vegetables, whole grains. And then you have joy eating, where you're eating for pure pleasure. That's it. It could be your cupcake. It could be your brownie. It could be your cookie. But it's pure pleasure. Doesn't really have any nutritional value, but you just enjoy it. Mm-hmm. The other category is fog eating, where you could be watching a game or you could be watching a movie and you have like a bag of chips. And before you know it, it's finished. You're like, oops, who was that? That was you.
Right.
And then the other one is storm eating. And storm eating is more based on your, sometimes like in a rage. For some of you listening, you might have remembered the Bridget Jones Diary, where she was on the bed and she had a box of chocolate and then all these chocolate wrappers. So she just ate all the chocolate. She knew she was aware, but it was like she couldn't stop herself. She just kept eating it. That is storm eating. And it's more emotional based. And you're eating it really quickly. Like it's almost as if you can't eat fast enough. So that's the other one. So there's fuel eating, joy eating, fog eating, and storm eating. And typically you want to be 80% fuel, 20% joy. And then the other one you want to really stay away from if you can help it. Like fog eating, the beautiful thing about that is once you're aware, you kind of stop yourself. Storm, most times it's afterwards that you kind of like, oh my goodness, I did that. But that is something that once that happened, you're like, okay, did it. And then just move on. Don't berate yourself. Don't belittle yourself for doing it. You just compassionately move forward and just start all over again.
Do you have tips to stop the storm eating?
Now, the storm typically, normally emotional based. So I normally tell my clients when they start to be more intentional about their actions, you will watch for that. It typically won't happen. And sometimes it's over a period of time, you have to kind of watch for it and eventually it stops. The thing is, whatever you're using it to do, you realize eventually it doesn't really solve the problem. And that's when you become a bit more conscious and more deliberate about not doing it because you realize, okay, why I did it didn't really solve the issue. So you kind of can step back from that. Yeah.
I have a feeling that most of your coaching really has nothing to do with food.
No.
It's all about behavior change, mindset.
Yeah. But then again, the reason why they're eating too really is not really about the food either. You have other things going on that you're masking with food.
And so feel the feelings, to go back to what you said before.
Feel the feelings. We don't want to feel anything. It's a joyous feeling, a sad feeling, anxiety. It doesn't matter what it is. We just have to be more open to embracing those feelings. It's just hard because we don't want to feel. There's so many things to distract us because you don't want to feel.
Right. Well, I think what you're doing is fantastic and you do it with such style. That's my favorite part. Mark my words, you will have, if this is something that you want, you will have a TV show.
That's on my vision board.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm calling it right here.
I want to have a TV show for midlife women because I feel we have so many issues and discussions that we need to have so that people out there can realize that this opportunity is available to them. A lot of women in our age group do not realize that. They think it's just, I can't do anymore. It's like, there are so many options.
And I
think we're at that stage where there's so many of us that we could actually change the dynamics of the whole world, really.
Absolutely. The power that we have as women in midlife,
yes.
If we unleashed even a fraction of it,
I'm telling you, seriously.
Watch out. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Watch out, world. Really?
Women over 40, stepping forward, making change, speaking up, sharing their voice, all of it. Yeah, in all different areas. So this is amazing. Yeah. So thank you so much, Kwabi, for joining me.
Oh, thank you, Jackie.
Thank you so much for listening. Let me ask you two quick questions. Have you subscribed? It's easy to do and helps you get alerts when a new episode is up in your favorite podcast app. And have you shared it with a friend? That's the simplest way to help grow the show and help more and more women over 40 thrive. I really appreciate you pressing play today. I know you have a lot going on and it's not lost on me. Until next time, take care and keep thriving. Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Kokanu? Kokanu is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/kokanu. That's 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/kokanu.